We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Noon on Sunday, it goes down at NRG. It is the home opener for the Texans as they host a divisional foe from Jacksonville. And we're going to begin our breakdown right now. Clinton Camlon, Houston sports leader. And Clint, does Rack need to change his approach against the Jaguars?
No, you don't. I mean, you don't change your approach. You put a different game plan in. I mean, you tweak the system. Last week, the emphasis was 100% on dropping guys into coverage and not giving up the big play, not giving up the gash plays. And some will argue this. I hear a lot of talk about, I'm concerned about the defense. I thought it was a great plan. The adjustments at halftime were a little bit suspect, but they got the wheels back on the track. The train back on the track in the fourth quarter, with the exception of the final drive. I mean, there were a lot of good defensively, and the offense that they were playing last week was one of the top five in the league, and Hall of Famers calling the shots both on the sideline and at quarterback. So, all things considered, I thought last week's plan had a lot more good to it than it had bad. You hold New Orleans to 3 points in the first half. That is awfully impressive. And in fact, I don't know how many times that's been done over the last few years. So you don't completely change your approach. You adjust accordingly, which the game plan, regardless of who the defensive coordinator is for the Texans, the game plan between week one versus the Saints offense and week two versus Jacksonville's offense with a rookie calling the shots, should look significantly different, Rick.
So, and you talked about, you know, dropping into coverage, keeping the Saints in front of them. They didn't want to give up the big play. Can I just push back on that theory for a second?
Yep.
Drew Brees does not throw deep balls anymore. He might throw 25 yards, 30 yards. He ain't throwing 50-yard rainbows like Deshaun Watson does to Will Fuller. I mean, why would that be your game plan when you've got – an awesome quarterback, but a guy that really can't throw the ball that long anymore.
No. He can throw it long. It's not a distance thing. I mean, when a true aggressive drive the football down the field team is not a throw the post over the top or throw the go down the sideline. It's four verticals hitting the seam. It's gash plays, spreading you sideline to sideline, getting the ball out quick, and Alvin Kamara on linebacker, and he goes for 30 or 40 yards. It's more of a keep everything in front of you type of defense. Don't give him voids to hit seams. Don't give him voids to complete balls to receivers that have 5 yard cushions and space to catch and run in where they can get behind the defense. I heard somebody say that earlier about how Drew Brees doesn't throw the ball deep. No, yeah, he does. I mean, he's never been a big arm guy, throw the ball 70 yards. Never. And that's not how they approach it. But if you go into a game and your number one priority is to not, when you go into a game versus Drew Brees and Sean Payton, your number one priority is gash plays. They are going to try to gash you with seam routes, with wheel routes, bullet routes, post routes. And I say post, I don't mean over the top with the lollipop throw in the ocean type throws. That is not what I'm talking about. You're right. Very rarely do they do that. But keeping everything in front of them, forcing them to go 12-play drives, 13-play drives, that's got to be your goal going in when you're playing New Orleans. Force their run game. Force them to run the ball and beat up Kamara. Force them to get through progressions consistently and take the checkdowns, and you hope in the process of all that they get too aggressive and they make a mistake, or you hope in the process of getting through the progressions your D-line has the ability to break free and get there, which Whitney Mercilus did a couple of times, two or three times. One of them, he gets the interception, JJ's flushing him, and then one time he gets a sack in a key situation. you know, that there was just a lot of good. And I mean, but first and foremost, I mean, people need to understand, and this is a big problem, Rick. It's not just like what you said. It's a big problem in football. When you talk about teams taking shots, everybody goes, oh, they must be throwing the go right of the post right over the top. It's the big hit the scoreboard type throw, and the receiver runs underneath it. The DeSean Jackson type throws. You know, that's not at all the Saints, and that's not what they want to do. What you saw them do with up the seam versus Colvin, Ted Ginn. That's what they want to do,
Junior.
That's what they want to do is rip that ball where they want to catch a lot of them at 18 to 25,
mm-hmm,
on the run, north
on
and south.
The run. Tell them
that's the shots, that's the gashes, that's what Sean Payton works to do. A lot of times you see them with Kamara coming out of the backfield. He comes out, and instead of running the old bubble to the sideline like everybody does, he runs what you call a bullet route, which is right off the tight end's ass, and he's up the numbers or up the outside edge of the numbers. They want him to catch that ball on the
run. That's how we beat Cunningham on Monday night.
That's the play that the famous no call versus the Rams. You know, that guy's running a bullet route, and he's you cannot defend it. The defender's coming from the other side of the field. You damn near cannot defend it. So those are the types of shot plays. Aggressive, vertical attacking, catching the ball on the run type plays. And Romeo Crennel, for the most part, did a good job of limiting those. Now, the three or four they hit, they were at bad times and they hurt. But for the most part, they didn't go out there and give up, you know, 14 first quarter points and 21 first half points. And just the adjustments are the suspect part of what went on both sides of the ball set by Monday.
I'm so glad you went there. We're Clinton Camla. We're breaking down Texans and Jaguars and talking a little bit about Romeo Crennel and bridging week one to week two. I do have to ask you about this. I wanted to ask yesterday, and the timing wasn't right, and we have some time right now. When you hold the New Orleans Saints to 3 points in the first half, and so halftime adjustments, like, you basically almost pitched a perfect game against one of the great offenses we have seen. You've allowed a field goal at halftime. So what do you adjust when your side of the ball is completely dominating like that? Like what do you adjust? Because you keep saying that they didn't do the right adjustments on defense for the second half, and I'm not disagreeing with that. But when you hold the Saints to 3 points in the first half, what should those first half adjustments be?
Well, at halftime, you've got to adjust and show them something different, because you've got to assume that they're going to go in the locker room and their coaches are going to come down from the press conference and go, guys, all they're doing is they're pulling out a defensive lineman, they're putting Benardrick McKinney on the line as that fourth lineman some, and they're bringing another DB in the game. So it's just that it takes them time. They're figuring things out at halftime that the Texans used and that they used and used well the first half. And then they go, okay, well, how do we attack when they do that? Well, here's what we're going to do. Okay, so as the Texans, you got to come out and you've got to adjust in some way, shape, or form so that they're not dialed in on exactly what you're doing.
Copy that.
And look, and that's a tough deal to do when it's Sean Payton and Drew Brees. I mean, it's really, really tough. And with the exception of a couple of drives, I mean, I think they did a good job. Again, when you go into to play Kansas City, and this is not debate. This is what the fan base needs to understand. You can rip the coaches apart all you want. That's why they get paid all the money they get paid. You can do whatever. But when your organization goes and plays New Orleans, Kansas City, New England, L.A. Chargers, when your organization goes to play those teams on the road in primetime football, and it is a three-point game in the fourth quarter, and there's enough time on the clock that you're going to have one or two opportunities to go down and tie it up or go down and win it, then your organization has done a hell of a job. I mean, every game out there you can nitpick to death. We can nitpick it and go, well, Romeo Crennel didn't do this, this player didn't do this, the play caller sucked for this one quarter or for that quarter, or the quarterback held the ball and should have got it. We can nitpick it apart, and that's what I love doing. I love breaking down the film. But the simple fact that the plan on both sides of the ball put you in position to where you had a chance against a top five team. What did I tell you every time, Rick, when we're talking about the playoffs and a team getting to the AFC or NFC championship?
What you say is all you have to do is get to that point, and then all bets are off, and you let the chips fall where they may.
That's it, because every game comes down to what? One drive, a 58-yard field goal,
there you go.
A slot corner that's playing too soft and not playing. That's what it comes down. When you get to that point And when you play one of those, like the New Orleans Saints are one of those caliber teams, and you get to that point, we've been saying it for 6 months, that game is going to come down to one or two mistakes, whoever gets the ball last, a great kick, right, a great throw here or there. And if you're that caliber of a team, then you're in pretty damn good company. And so when we talk about the game plans on both sides, I'm going to be the first one to pick them apart and tell you what needs to change and how this team can get better, because that's what the hell I get paid to do. But when it's all said and done, the Texans organization and this fan base should be really proud of what the position they put themselves in on Monday Night Football when all the eyes coast to coast were on this organization.
And Clint, I believe they do win probabilities, right? And I believe the win probability would have been at 97%, 98%, and it just didn't go our way. But they did put themselves in a position where that goose was basically cooked and all hell broke loose. But I want to ask you this: what can Romeo Crennel do to confuse? And we're gonna hear some sound about Gardner Minshew. We're gonna talk about Gardner Minshew in depth in the next hour. But right now, I want you to talk to me about what Rack can do to confuse the young quarterback who will be making, he's a talented dude, but he will be making his first NFL start on Sunday on the road.
Yeah, you know, I think you're going to see a different personnel, a game plan with a different personnel. Last week was heavy DBs, heavy extra DB in the game, and there will be situations where that's the case this week as well. But I think you'll see more seven-man box. I think you'll see more six-man box, depending on what formations they're in. But I think you'll see a box plus one, right? So whoever, if they've got an empty backfield, I think you're going to get five in the box. If they've got one back in the backfield, you're going to get six in the box, because you can't account for all those guys, right? And so I think you're going to get a plan that clearly you see. The number one priority this week is to keep Leonard Fournette from getting momentum. He can gash you, get you a couple plays here and there, and that's fine. And you'll risk, where last week you want to try to stop them gash plays, this week I will risk, or I'll be vulnerable in the areas where you may be able to hit me with an H post for a nice gain. You may be able to hit me with a wheel route down a sideline, or a go route down a sideline to a big receiver. Chark may catch a big play, but
DJ Chark is a stud.
Right, but I tell you what's not going to happen is you're not going. Let me say it's not. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm saying the priority of the game plan needs to be: we're going to get in there and we're going to absolutely mash on Leonard Fournette and put this game in the young fella's hands.
Gardner Minshew.
And then at that point in time, I love the old. I tell you what threw me for fits back in the day. Was the old amoeba-style defense. Joe Lee Dunn was at Mississippi State back in the day, and they would come to the line of scrimmage, and the only guy with his hand on the ground was a nose guard. The D-tackles, the DNs, the linebackers, if it was a third down and there was maybe a nickel back or a dime in the game, that guy was in the box, would like literally be in the A-gap talking trash to me. And then when I snapped the ball, boom, they would bail into two, or they'd bail into three. They were a middle close team, so they'd bail into three or one. And I didn't know if it was man or if it was zone or if they were blitzing. I had to process that all after the snap. Most older quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks, would go, "Don't bother me, man. I see your corner over there doing this, and I know it's going to be this coverage, so I know all y'all are bailing and I'm protected." Or vice versa, "I know you're all coming and I'm going to get it out." But young dudes that haven't played much in the league, don't have a lot of skin in the game yet, that will bother them. So I would expect to see maybe not the amoeba style, because that's old school, but just a lot of movement in the box. A lot of safeties rotating and a lot of, you know, show blitz and then bail into coverage. I would expect to see a lot of that, which this team should be very comfortable doing anyway, because it's a lot of what they did last year. And really, this game should put it on Gardner Minshew, force Leonard Fournette out of the game, essentially, put it on Gardner Minshew, and then let these boys eat.
Bill O'Brien addressed the media at 12:30, Clint, and he spoke about defending Leonard Fournette, and I think you're going to like what you have to hear right here.
Leonard's he's a big guy. He gets behind his pads. You know, like I say, if you let him get going down the railroad tracks, you know, you're going to have a problem, because he's going to steamroll you. So you got to do a good job of setting the edge and playing good gap control defense, because he's a tough guy. They throw him the ball, too. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, so – you know, Leonard always presents a big challenge to us.
Big challenge to the inside guys. I mean, Zach Cunningham, Benardrick McKinney, DJ Reader. Look, J.J. Watt. Like, J.J. Watt, there was a gash last week with Alvin Kamara where J.J. Watt got upfield and Alvin Kamara got underneath him and had a good gain. And And so, you know, J.J. Watt's a big part of that. I mean, I'm not concerned at this point with the team's ability to stop the run. I think it's a seven-man game. And I'm not concerned with this defense. I hear a lot about, oh, my God, what are we going to do with this defense? And I think that's a lot of knee-jerk, clowny reaction, you know, and rightfully so. But I think it's a lot of knee-jerk, clowny reaction. I think when with a normal rush, I think you're going to – normal front, I don't see this team having a problem stopping the run versus a conventional attack for sure, like you're going to see this week. My concern is this team's ability in critical situations to collapse the pocket. Right, I mean that's where this thing, we saw it with DJ Reader in some of the highlights. You saw it a couple of times with JJ being able to push the pocket or flush the quarterback, and Whitney got a sack one time, and Whitney got a couple of pressures otherwise. But it's got to happen more often. That's the concern: is can you collapse a pocket? I think as a six or seven man game, I think these cats. And I'm leaning heavy on Zach Cunningham and Benardrick McKinney and DJ Reader and Blackston, all these guys that you typically don't hear a lot from because J.J. Watt and Clowney are in the news. You're depending a lot on those guys, but I believe that the box plus one guys will be able to stop the run, and so I'm not overly concerned. I am not at all worried about this defense the way that I feel like I hear in the building and on air. I feel like I hear a lot of concerns about the defense, and I'm not of that of cut from that cloth, baby. I'm not worried right now. I may be next week. I may be dead ass wrong, but right now I'm not. I feel pretty good about him.
I hope you're right, and I feel like it's a little presumptuous to say that Leonard Fournette is going to play in this football game on Sunday. I feel like we're taking a lot for granted here with Lenny Soft Tissue Fortnite.
Oh, here you go.
I feel like you still got today's practice, Thursday's practice, Friday's practice. I still feel like there's a chance for a soft tissue injury now and Sunday's game. I don't think it's a guarantee that he plays on Sunday at NRG Stadium.
And that, folks, is a direct result of when you screw my boy Tricky Rick in fantasy football.
Tell him,
you might not play next week. You might not get on the field next week.
And by the way, Leonard Fournette, I think, had 67 yards, did not score a touchdown last week against Kansas City. I just love throwing shade on Leonard Fournette, and hopefully it doesn't come back to bite all of us in the rump. But it is what it is. If you're in Jacksonville and you're listening right now, you can go ahead and play this. The pub would be fantastic. It's at Rick Kamla Sports, if you care to give me a follow on Twitter. Do the Texans, Clint, need to blitz more without Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna get accomplished what I was talking about, like being able to collapse the pocket, I think you're gonna have to. But we got to define blitz, right? So for me, when you say blitz, when I heard the word blitz, that's safeties blitzing to me. When I hear the word dog, that's linebackers. That's linebackers coming with the defensive line. So you're bringing four plus one. That's a linebacker dog, right? So. Maybe getting creative and bringing Mike Sam, which is the middle backer, and the Sam backer, along with your four down and getting a six-man rush. Sure, yeah. I mean, I think you're gonna have to get creative in some of those schemes in order to generate anywhere close to the same type of disruption and violence that Jadeveon Clowney did. But quite frankly, I think Texans fans just need to get used to the fact that you're gonna see a different defense. It's not gonna be 6'5", 250 pounds with dreads blowing up blocking schemes. You're just not going to get that when you flip on and watch the Texans anymore. You just hope at the end of the year, 16-game sample size, that the statistically they're in the same boat defensively or similar boat defensively, and the team overall is better and able to be a better, bigger, better playoff contender.
Could we just bring more than three rushers on Gardner Minshew when he is dropping back to pass? That would be great.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.